Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. My Father removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, my Father prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward to help proclaim the good news of the gospel. Thank you all. So we all gathered, not just Kenan and Martin, but others, earlier today, and Claire kind of guided them along. And what she asked, this is a great method of Bible study and just kind of coming to interpretation. What is it in the text that strikes your heart, grabs your interest? And so I know that question was asked, and then they put together a kind of image about what that was about. Kenan, can you tell me what you got here? And all of this binds us together to who? Who is the vine in the story? Jesus is. And who does Jesus connect to?
Well, I think the word, God.
And
God is the vine grower.
Yes. And who are the branches? We are, right. And then all these things, or these might be the fruit, huh? That we give to other folks. And that we share with one another. And so then we also become branches, living branches that connect to other people. The question I asked and underlined, and I'm not going to make them answer it, but you can think between now and when I climb up there, is what could it mean? Ask for whatever you wish. There's so many things you can think about in this lesson. Thank you all for coming. And just remember that you are the branches in Christ and that Jesus sets you forth to share these things with other people, and so that we become branches, that we abide together as one community. So we're sitting in different spots, but we are bound together by the Spirit and the vine of Christ who cares for us. Thank you, Ken, and thank you, Martin, for coming. Yeah, let's leave that here. Very nice. Thank you all. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. When the children were first asked earlier today at Sunday school and youth group and confirmation, you know, what part of the lesson really strikes your interest, your fancy, nobody said ask what you wish, whatever you want, you get it. I thought surprising, but on one hand, it's true for me as well. As I was looking at the lesson, and when I get the lessons, I always underline stuff and I put things in boxes. And in this lesson, you notice that the word abide comes out all the time, so it means it's important. And it also happens to be the last time that Jesus says, I am. You know, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Here, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And remember also that as Jesus is speaking in the story, he is about to be leaving. This is just prior to his death on the cross. He's gathering with his disciples. In a way, this is often called his farewell speech. Ask what you wish. So I wonder, what is our first response to such an invitation? We might say, anything? Really? Really? We may at first think, as I did, oh, the lottery. Or, Cardinals win the pennant. I'm not asking for the World Series, just the pennant. Or maybe our hearts are more expansive. We're more concerned. Good health for ourselves and particularly for our loved ones, which we do ask each day, I think. And certainly each Sunday. But even in these righteous requests, sometimes I think we realize that we often imagine God as a grand dispenser, perhaps of good and bad things, weal and woe. But in this lesson, Jesus is describing, proclaiming something different. The language of the vine that the children brought forward, the language of abiding, is a language of relationship. Abide in me as I abide in you. I don't know that we could ask for much more. When we live in Christ and he in us, do we not then have the power to deal with all of these things, to deal with each other, to deal with those events that occur in our lives? I always, when couples come to me prior to marriage, I speak to them. I share this kind of obvious truth, but one that we often get tempted to forget. And it holds true in any of our relationships. When we abide in one another, when we are true vines and branches to each other, we can meet any challenge. We can handle any question. We can ask anything of each other. But what will we ask? Certainly not for destructive things. Not things designed to prove love either. If you do this, if you give me this, then I know you love me. Not material things. No quid pro quo. We ask for things that give life, that promote life for ourselves, our partners, for others, time together, your hopes, your dreams, your care. Perhaps sometimes we even ask for the most profound of all gifts. We ask for forgiveness. Is there any greater depth of relationship, any deeper abiding, to use John's favorite word, than to know where one is broken, one is lost, abandoned, outside of life, and then to forgive, to be forgiven, for relationship to be restored, renewed, to heal one another, for life to be restored once more in unity, in mutuality, in love, in abiding in Christ. Ask whatever you wish. We ask, we wish, we hope, we pray for life with God, with others. The true vine gives life. How much of our lives are we spent asking for the wrong things? Asking or grasping for the wrong things, false vines, if you will. Things that separate us from one another and from life itself. And so, as the scripture says, in this case, we wither when this happens. I wonder, are we withering as a national community? As I mentioned earlier, John's own community, the very first readers of this gospel, they were all getting tossed out of their community. Families were broken up. Friendships were broken up. They were being excluded. Perhaps they had this fear that they would wither and be lost. And if we think about the very context of the lesson itself, to whom Jesus is speaking, his disciples, how do they feel? He is leaving the very life. He is saying, farewell. I am going. He is leaving. The disciples are afraid. What will become of us? What will they ask for? Abide. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening and the day is almost over. To jump to another gospel, but a line that's so great. Abide. For years, I've spent a lot of life trying to become an English literature scholar and a teacher. And I wish I could remember the poet that said this, but the question is, does anything remain? It's not just one poet's question. Isn't it what's in all of our hearts? Does anything of us remain? Do we remain? Does anything of the world remain? It's a great poet's lament, but it's our question. We all ask it as we acknowledge the ending of our days, whether we're young or whether we're old. Abide with us. Is there any greater gift? Stay with us, Lord. Abide. Live in us, and we in you. For whatever you wish, I will remain with you. I will never abandon you in any of your days. And knowing this, I think as the children were suggesting, knowing this, trusting this, believing this, that God will abide, and that you will abide in God, that in the cross of Christ, Jesus bears our fears and all that separates us from God and one another, and abides in and with us in forgiveness and the promise of life, resurrection life. All is given. All is given. Ask whatever you wish. All is received. And we become ourselves then the givers, branches that connect to others with life, to abide with all. All are given. All are received. I think, like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch today in our other lesson, the question is pertinent. Ask, ask. Ask whatever you wish. It doesn't come in those words. But what does the Ethiopian eunuch ask? Explain the scriptures, he asks. Am I also to be found in the good news? I, a foreigner, an African. I, a eunuch, a person of a third gender, perhaps discriminated against in my sexual minority. Am I forever an outsider? Or am I too to be included? What do these scriptures mean for me? Philip abides. He rides. He gets in the chariot. A true branch extends the life of the true vine to another. So it is that the Spirit sent Philip just for this reason. So it is that the Spirit sends each of us each day to bring the good news to those who are in need, who wonder, who ask, who lament. Am I included? Am I part of God's promise and message and salvation? Philip says, let me proclaim God's acceptance of you in Christ Jesus. It's interesting that Philip, or that the eunuch, it's also striking to me at the beginning, it said, I've read recently that other than Jesus Christ, we know more in the Bible about this singular person than anybody else. A whole lot is described about him. An African, well-educated, runs the treasury, has a scroll. How did he get that? Can read. Is a eunuch. We do not know his name, however. But he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. This particular lesson is from chapter 43. We learned from Laurel Taylor, if we were downstairs the last couple of Sundays, that in chapter 46, Isaiah prophesies a great and extraordinary prophecy. That in God's home, prophesies Isaiah, the eunuchs, God will give a better name than sons and daughters. Quite extraordinary. A complete embrace of a third gender, if you will. Ask whatever you wish. All will be accepted. Ask whatever. The eunuch, again, whose name we know not, asks for everything. He asks for one thing. And what is it? Here is water. Can I be baptized? Can I be included in the community of Christ? Can I abide in the vine? Will Christ abide in me? To be connected to the true vine, the giver of life, to be welcomed into the whole family of God. His prayer is answered, as well as every prayer, every asking, every question. And then, do we not understand with the children that we too become ourselves the answer? Are we not ourselves the answer? Like Philip, the branches of welcome, of proclamation, the givers of life to all people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.